broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
Welcome, everybody, to another show of Refresh Your Wealth. Man, I am excited to be here. My name is Mark Kohler, your co-host with my amazing co-host. I guess we're both co-hosts. Yeah. Matt Sorensen. There you go.
We couldn't pick, you know, who was going to be president, so we just took co-host.
Yeah, we're co-hosts.
I didn't want to be VP.
Fair enough. Beep. So I like it. Well, we're welcoming you here again another week. Under the hood, talking about tax and legal strategies to help you better live your American dream, trying to keep it fun, keep it fresh. We really appreciate the time you're taking to listen to this podcast. We put a lot of work into it. And yes, it is true. There are no producers behind the scenes, no scripts, no Robin up on a pedestal taking calls. It's just Matt and myself. So you have to be patient. We're trying to rock the house. We've been doing this for 10 years, Matt, over 10 years of a weekly radio show.
I know, decades of shows out there for you to listen and enjoy. So if you're new, that's good news because you can go to refreshyourwealth.com or our podcast history on iTunes, check out prior shows, search ones that may be of interest to topics that you like. And also just a plug to refreshyourwealth.com. That's a great place to go to sign up for our newsletter. We got awesome articles, tax tips and deadlines, legal strategies. We're trying to get out there to the people. And also, we announce our upcoming shows and prior shows in the newsletter as well. So, great place to get information about the show and educate yourself.
Yeah, and the newsletter's free. A lot of people out there want to charge for a newsletter, and ours is packed with blog articles, videos, deadlines, tips, strategies, and we will only email you maybe once or twice during the month for other little special events or specials that we're having. But the newsletter is always free. So we hope you take advantage of that. Now, this week's show is a big one, and I'm so grateful we have special guest expert Matt Sorensen. That's right, my co-host as well, because he is the expert on this topic. He has written the book on self-directed strategies. It is currently the best-selling book in America on how to self-direct your IRA, and it, of course, bleeds into 401ks and retirement plans and the whole industry. He speaks at national conferences in Washington, D.C. on this on a regular basis. He's just amazing. He looks good. He's young. He's vibrant. Man, I'm just in awe. Just in awe of you, Matt. Wow. You didn't expect that intro, did you?
I love that. God, I feel really good. So now today we're going to take a sliver of what I like to talk about with self-directed retirement accounts. By the way, the book is the Self-Directed IRA Handbook. It's got 5 stars on Amazon, like the iPhone 7. So if you like the iPhone 7, you'll like the Self-Directed IRA Handbook. But what we're going to talk about today is how to fund an operational business with a retirement account. So someone may have some money in a retirement account. They're thinking, man, I want to start a business or I want to invest in an operational business. Maybe you want to participate in it. Maybe you don't. And we're going to talk about the different structures and options you have to do that. There's $25 trillion in retirement accounts, Mark, you know, in the United States. That's like, as I tell people, that's the largest section of investable cash in the United States. And who has it? It's not the banks.
China.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, sorry. Oh, no. Okay. Sorry.
It's not China or the banks. It's the people, baby. It's the people. It's all in their little IRAs and 401ks. Most people have a little sliver of that $25 trillion. So when they're thinking of starting or funding a business, one of the resources you need to be considering is, can I use my retirement for this? And that's what we're going to talk about today. It's a little tricky on how you do it, but we're going to break it down, give you some examples and strategies on how it could be possible. So, which I am, if you can't tell, very excited for.
Well, and the big elephant in the room, I'm just going to say it, because this is what people will call and ask us. And we're going to answer the question today is, can my IRA or 401k, whatever it is, this retirement account, open up a Subway sandwich shop down the street and will hire me? I need a job and I want my IRA to hire me. I mean, that's really the elephant in the room. And people have great ideas out there and they want to use their IRA or 401k that's just sitting there stagnant, maybe in their minds. And how can I give myself a job and get a paycheck and put my IRA? How can my IRA put me to work? Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to talk about that. Can you do it? The answer is yes. But there's a lot of options and there's pros and cons.
Yeah. So. No. So you're going to have to listen.
You're going to have to listen. Yeah, it's going to be good. Now, with every week's show, we try to do a little tax tip, a legal tip, maybe a little current news, cutting edge information that might be helping you. We get little updates of important court cases that come down every day that affect you, the average taxpayer. And Matt, I had one come across my table. I'm kind of excited to talk about it. May I? May I?
Yes.
All right. Okay, well, we're going to throw this. Oh, ouch. I know. I'm gearing up for the 5 o'clock early bird special over here at the Denny. So, okay, I like it. All right, so this we will call today's tax tip.
A tax tip you can actually understand and won't put you to sleep.
A tax tip that could save you thousands.
So, many of you that have had a chance to read the also best-selling book out there on tax and legal strategies, The Tax and Legal Playbook, written by Mark Kohler. One of those key chapters, one of those key Kohler doctrine strategies is how to take advantage of rental property, tax-free wealth building, tax-free cash flow, and oftentimes tax losses that you can deduct against your other income. This is a big deal. I talk to clients probably every day. That's not every phone call. We're diversified here, but it's almost a daily conversation with some client that says, by the way, I've got some rental property. Am I going to get a write-off for it? Well, there's different classes of categories, passive investor, active investor, but real estate professional is oftentimes the holy grail of rental property investing. Because if you or your spouse qualify as a real estate professional, then all of those losses are 100% deductible against either spouse's income. So now I'm not saying it's for everybody, and it depends on your income level, and it depends on how many rental properties you have. Are you using leverage or not? How old are you? So there's some factors here. That's why I love to talk about it. But many of you listeners know this is a serious issue. Well, just this month, well, sorry, I should say 4 weeks ago, January 11th, 2017, the United States Tax Court found against a taxpayer. This is Mahmoud Makhlouf and Jane Makhlouf. They're Egyptian names. I probably completely butchered that for those of you from Egypt. I apologize. But I'm going to just call it Makhlouf, the Makhlouf family. They claimed real estate professional and went on to take $74,000 in rental losses on two properties. And you can imagine that would get the IRS's attention. And let me, as a quick digression here, highlight the fact that when you claim real estate professional, I've said it time and time again, pigs get fat and hogs get slaughtered. I'm sorry. Many of you have heard me say that many, many times before. I'm sorry, Mr. Matt Sorensen. You're sick of that quote. I know you are.
I just get hungry for bacon every time you say it. It's lunchtime,
touché.
Man.
Yeah, touche. So we don't want to be too greedy. And that's the first mistake that these folks made is the IRS, of course, disallowed those losses and slapped them down. These guys had the cojones to go to court. Someone should have warned them and said, dude, this does not look good. If they would have called me, I would have said, just, you know, roll over. Take a beating, but they wanted to go in for the real beating and go through the gauntlet of tax court. And so now they have the honor of being mocked by me on my show. So if you want to go to tax court, you better have your crap together or else you know you will be mocked here. But anyway, they tried to take $74,000 of losses. They were way too greedy. They had two properties. And you would have thought these two little rentals were down the street. No, they were in Egypt. They're in Egypt, Matt. And I'm going to count my time traveling to Egypt and visiting my family. And in fact, why don't we go check on our rental properties in the dead winter of Massachusetts where they were from? And let's just kind of vacation in Egypt for 88 days out of the year and work on our two rentals. And to add insult to injury, the irony here is these were two apartment buildings of which there were 17 other owners.
This just
gets juicier and juicier, doesn't it?
I like their spunk, though. I like their spunk. I mean, their go-get-it attitude. Go for it,
you know?
They threw a Hail Mary here.
This is like the other day. Oh, Matt, in fact, I felt so bad. I was driving my daughter to school yesterday. It was yesterday. I had a dream about this last night. I felt so bad. There was a little snow the day before, and then it had melted. And, of course, I live in the frigid tundra of Idaho right now, and it's been a good life change for me in the evenings and weekends to try to slow down a little bit. But, man, this kid gets – I saw him run out of his door and started running down the sidewalk. He was trying to catch the bus. And this kid was in a dead run, probably 12 years old, little Boy Scout level, you know, just running with his backpack. This you know, just little engine, man. He was just going. And I said to Molly, I go, Molly, this is not going to end well. And sure enough, within about 50 yards, this kid hit a patch of ice and just ate it on the cement. I felt so bad. And but he was a little go-getter. And that's what I'm thinking about these Mokloofs. They were just running their little hearts out on the sidewalk there. But here, let me give you some takeaways. Of course, I could go on for, you know, several minutes here more. Making them feel bad. But let me just say this. First of all, they were extremely aggressive with only two rental properties, going for $74,000 in losses. Number two, there were only partial owners. So on the face of it, you're going to question how much time they spent managing this. And as a quick digression, for those that have studied, to be a real estate professional, you've got to put in 750 hours a year doing real estate. And one of you, if you're married, has to be doing real estate essentially full time. That's your primary occupation. So Mr. Mokloof might be a dentist or an engineer or a W-2 wage earner somewhere, and Jane, his wife, was the real estate professional. I'm good with that. But they've got to be able to document 750 hours a year of doing work. Well, when you're adding up time on a plane to Egypt, and then you're only there 88 days, and you're clocking 750 hours, the court said they would have concluded that they had to have done 4 hours a day, 7 days a week, working on a rental property that had its own property management while they were there in Egypt. And then they concluded that their spreadsheets were inflated. This is the court, quote, "We conclude that the hours shown on the spreadsheet for the property were inflated, duplicative, and implausible on their face." So you want to keep a spreadsheet of your time. Don't overdo it. And I'm okay with having property out of the country. I'm okay with having two or three rentals. But maybe you've got to show that you're doing other types of real estate, fixing and flipping properties. Maybe Jane or Mahmoud could have gotten licensed as a realtor or a contractor. You've got to put together a good argument, folks, and we will help be there for you. We will help you document this and be an advocate for you in this strategy. We've never had a client of ours audited for taking the position. We only help people that take the position erroneously when they do TurboTax and then come to us and say, help us out. So anyway, just kind of a crazy case. And the IRS is out there watching, folks. You just can't check this box on TurboTax and see your refund triple down digit, you know, look pretty and just think you can get away with it. You will fall on the sidewalk and skin your knee.
You could eat it on some black ice and find yourself wet with snow.
Yes. So there's my tax tip, Matt. Be a real estate professional, but do it right.
Love it. Love that case, too, to illustrate the point. This is, you know, the latest breaking cases from the tax court on the Refresh Your Wealth podcast. Isn't that refreshing? All right. Well, I got I'm going to give a quick legal tip here.
A legal tip that you can actually use.
A legal tip where you don't feel like you have to take a shower after.
All right, now I want to talk about non-compete agreements and when to use non-compete agreements and when they may be a limitation. Now, what a non-compete agreement is this is something you may enter into with an employee in your business or contractors in your business that essentially says, hey, you're working for me. Maybe they're in a sales capacity or management capacity. They have access to certain contacts in your business. You say, hey, while you're working for me, you can't go compete with me. And when you leave my employment or our contract terminates, if you're a contractor, you can't compete with me for 1 year, 2 year, 3 years in the future. That's essentially what a non-compete agreement is. And for someone who owns a business, what obviously you're trying to protect there is you don't want this person who maybe get your contacts or your clients or customers or whatever it may be, you don't want them to steal those and then be your competitor in the next day. So a non-compete agreement is typically what's used in that scenario to protect you and your business from having employees or contractors turning around and being your competitor tomorrow. Now, that's essentially what it is. Part of the tip is use that where possible. But one thing I want to say that's very, very important that you need to understand with non-competes is they are not always enforceable. Okay? It's okay to have them. I'm okay with you having them. A lot of people are going to abide by that non-compete agreement just because people are people of their word. They agreed to it. They have a contract. In certain situations, the courts may actually enforce the non-compete agreement. But non-compete agreements are very disliked by courts. There's a public policy argument that people should not be restricted from competing in the marketplace. And if you restrict somebody's ability to work, that is a significant public policy deterrent. So the courts really scrutinize these agreements. For example, in California, non-compete agreements are automatically void by law. You can't even use them in California. They are entirely void, except in partnership situations or if you're buying a business and you're saying, hey, seller of the business, you need to agree to a non-compete because I'm buying the business. But regular non-compete situations, a contractor or employees, those are always going to be void in California. Now, in Arizona and a lot of other states, I'm just giving Arizona here as an example, what the courts are going to do is they're going to look at what's the scope of the non-compete? How long did this person work for you? How long after they work for you are they restricted from competing? Is this restricted in a certain geographic area? Do you say, if I have a pest control business and I got some guy that does all my sales and I say, hey, you can't compete with me. And then, and I just say that period for 5 years after you work for me and then he leaves and then he goes out and competes with you. You're probably not going to be able to enforce that non-compete because you gave up 5 years. You didn't specify a location. So if you are using non-competes, one thing to do is limit the time period, generally 1 year to 2 year. Also limit the scope. If your business is in Arizona and maybe you're in the Phoenix area, limit it to the Phoenix area for a 1 to 2 year period. Courts are much more likely to enforce those agreements that are more narrowly tailored than they are blanket non-competes that have long periods of time and would effectively cover the entire United States.
Now, Matt, let me ask you this, just as a listener here of the show, if I may. Many of you may know, Matt's got some good court experience. I love his stories of being in the courtroom. Before he joined our firm, he was more of a fighter. Now he's more of a lover. But Matt, let me ask you this. I would still, tell me if I'm wrong, I would still tell clients, if you own a business and you've got key executives or key people, make them sign it. Make it ugly. Put it out there. Some of these people, I'm not asking to be, I don't know, unethical or lack integrity, but they're trying to protect their business. I mean, a lot of these folks don't know that it may not be enforceable and it can be a deterrent for someone. Shouldn't you still implement them even if you kind of know they may not hold up?
Right. Yeah. I think why not use it? But if you are using it, try and tailor it to what you really need to protect it for, you know, don't make it last forever and cover the entire world or country, you know, limit it to where you really need protection. And one thing I think that's really overlooked is instead of doing a non-compete, or I should say in addition to doing a non-compete, do a non-solicitation clause. Those are much more enforceable. What the non-solicitation clause in the agreement says is, hey, if you leave my company, you can't come back and solicit my customers, or you can't solicit my other employees that may work for me to come and work with you. That's much more enforceable than a non-compete, which basically the non-compete says you can't even work in the industry I'm in, you know. But the non-solicitation says, hey, my little company is protected. You can't come raid it and my customers. And that's going to be much more enforceable. So add that in. I think that's a better protection. It's more direct and specific to you, and courts typically uphold non-solicitation.
Yeah, and let me say this last tip, if I may add to this, is all playing poker. You know, it's a lot of it is the card you play. to achieve the result you're looking for. For example, the time you want to clean your guns is when your daughter's bringing over a new boy to introduce to the family. You're not going to use those guns for anything. I'm not even implying that. But if you're going to clean the guns, you'd want to kind of do it at that time. I've got, you know, a couple daughters in college, and when they bring the guys by, you know, I want to put on my best front, just playing my cards, just trying to send a message, Matt.
Hey.
Best I can.
I like
protecting
it,
my daughters.
I like it. good analogy. I think non-competes are really valuable, and I think they're important, but I think some people put too much stock in it, and they'll skip something like a non-solicitation or something that's more specific to protect them because they think, you know, I got this nuclear non-compete agreement that's going to take care of everything. Well, you might not actually be able to use it at all. So let's keep it tailored. Let's think of maybe adding a non-solicitation. And but yeah, I like throw it out there. Let them see the big, you know, the big guns you got. And you may not use them. They may not even work, you know.
They're a fear but tactic.
They know
fear
you tactic. Have them. They know you have them.
That's right. That's right. Well, as any good father knows, that's always a good ploy. Well, okay. Now, the topic at hand today is, again, taking that retirement account that you may have accumulated at a prior job. Maybe it's money you've been socking away for years. And, you know, on this note, I'm going to kind of share an emotional point. There was a radio show the other day. It was on NPR. It was just phenomenal. And they were doing a little expose on what they were calling the 60 and over unemployed, and how a lot of people are being let go in companies for a younger crop of cheaper employees and just kind of cleaning house. And these are people that arguably are still in their prime. They've garnered a lot of education and industry knowledge, relationships, and they're thrown to the curb. And it was a really emotional show, Matt. And but the thing that was really disturbing to me is they didn't turn the coin over and go, you know what? This could be the biggest blessing in your life. You've got this retirement account that the company may have been throwing money into for years. You've got a skill set. You've got relationships and industry knowledge. This could be just what the doctor ordered to go out and start your own business and live that last 10 or 20 years of your career doing what you love and being the captain of your own ship. Well, we get this phone call a lot, and clients say, how can I use my retirement account to provide the seed money for that, to help start that business? Is it possible? So I think that's maybe puts a little twist on it from an emotional standpoint, that we can look at the glass half full and use these retirement accounts to our advantage. So Matt, now I think you've summarized, there's really three or four options. Why don't you tell us the two or three options, and then maybe we can go back and dive into them individually. What would you say? Would that be okay, just so that we have them out on the table?
I love it. Yep. We got four options, okay? These are the final four options, all right?
these ones, March Madness.
These ones made the playoff, okay?
Okay.
All right. So, you know, I just want to – whatever sport you follow, I just want to make sure, you know, we were on the same page here. All right. Option one, you just distribute the retirement account, okay?
Just take a hit.
Yeah, you just take a hit. Maybe you got $100,000 in there. You need $100,000 to start the business. You're going to take a hit. I want to set this out there because I always want you to know what these are your four choices. Okay.
Yeah.
You got
worst case, maybe. Yeah.
So you take $100,000 distribution from your retirement account. That's going to go on your taxable income. You're not yet 59 and a half yet. You're going to also pay a 10% early withdrawal penalty. So that's painful. But let's be honest, it's an option. It's something you could consider. So that's option one. Now that's the last resort, really. But that's option one. Now, the next three options, and I'm going to hit them fast. Just if you miss what I'm talking about, don't worry. We're going to describe them in a little more detail. I just want to set the big picture here. Option one, IRA LLC.
Option two. Of the three.
That's true.
Okay. So this is two, three, and four.
All right. Okay. I'm looking at a presentation I gave, and I got the numbers out of order here. Okay. Option two, I call this the IRA LLC or IRA-owned C-Corp. Now, this is for what I would call the absentee owner type business. You're not going to work in the business. Your retirement account's going to fund it. You may oversee things and check on things, but you're not working there day to day. You're basically an absentee type owner. Okay? That's option two.
And let me Okay, let me interject here. We're not talking about buying rental property either. That is another show per se. We're talking about an operational business. This could be a restaurant. It could be a taco truck. It could be a bungee jumping school. It could be – we've seen – so it could be a farm, a ranch, trading horse breeding. I mean, who knows? But I like what Matt just said. We'll come back to it. You're not working in the business, but it's an operational business, a franchise even, that you see an opportunity for. Your retirement account's going to fund it. Okay, cool. That's two. All right.
That's two. Remember, you're absentee in that role. You're not making a salary. You're personally getting a check. All right. Option two is?
Three.
Option three. All right. Option three. You only need 50K. All right. This is probably the easiest one. What we're going to do, you're going to set up a new LLC or S corporation that's going to own the new business, typically an S corporation. You're going to roll over the existing money you have in a retirement account to a new 401k owned by this new company. It probably could be a solo 401k. Then you're going to take a loan from this 401k to yourself. You can loan yourself from a 401k half the balance, not to exceed 50 grand. So if I got 100,000 bucks, I could loan myself 50 grand personally. I can use that 50 grand to go to Vegas. I can use that 50 grand to go start up this and fund this new business. Now, this one's nice and easy because I get outside of a lot of retirement account restrictions. I get access to only 50K, but I can work in the business. I can get a salary. I personally own the business. I can use an S corp. It's a really nice structure, but it only gets you 50K.
I love it. And I've got a couple tax tips to go with that. So when we come back to it, we'll explore that one a little further, which brings us to, so that Matt doesn't flub this up, number four.
All right. Option three. Just kidding.
Oh, my gosh. Unbelievable. Kidding. Where's our all producer?
Right. Sorry. Sometimes all this tax stuff, my brain, you know, I get to like the option numbers and my brain's like, just wants to take a break. It's like, you dummy. Okay. Option four. This is what you may have heard. You may have seen advertisements about this called the rollover on business startup, the ROBS, R-O-B-S. This requires a 401k and a C corp. You have to use a C corporation. The C corporation essentially adopts a new 401k. You roll over your retirement account money to the 401k, and you have what's called a rollover on business startup. You can work in that business. You can personally get a salary. Your 401k owns it, so it gets the profits, but you can work in it and draw a reasonable salary. That is called the rollover on business startup. It's probably the most complicated to pull off, but when you want to work in the business and get a salary, and you need more than 50K, it's really the silver bullet. It's the best option.
Yeah, and we'll come back to that. We've got a couple sources that we can help you, the listeners, go to implement a ROBS strategy, and we'll explain maybe the steps and techniques that go with that. Okay, so let's rewind. I don't think we need to go back to option one, just taking a distribution. I think some folks that are over 59 and a half, it's a little simpler to say, okay, no 10% penalty at least. So if I'm over 60 and unemployed and I want to pull that money and start a business, that's cool. I tell most clients that with federal, state, and penalty, you could easily be at a 40% haircut by the time you get through the whole process, because it pushes you into a higher tax bracket at the same time. So you've got to really run the numbers and be very, very careful. I know, Matt, you and I meet with people all the time. They're like, oh, I pulled the money out of my IRA. Can I put it back? And I do the math on a calendar, and it's more than 60 days. It's done. Mm-hmm. You can't just put it back either. You got to be careful. So I guess that's option one.
Yeah. Know before now, you go. Know before you go.
Know before you go. Okay, now option two, Matt. Let's talk about this a little bit more. Now, you said I could take my IRA or 401k, create an LLC or a C corporation to run this business. I'm going to go fund a new franchise, a new business. I'm not going to work in it. Mm-hmm. Tell us why you throw out the two options of an LLC or a C corp. Why is that important?
Okay, good question. There's really two issues when we're structuring this that you're trying to deal with. The first is what's called the prohibited transaction rules. There's something called the prohibited transaction rules, and one of the restrictions that results from that is I can't make money or get payment from my IRA or a company my IRA or 401k owns. There's a restriction on that, personally. Yeah. So I couldn't, my spouse couldn't, my kids couldn't, certain family members. So that's called a prohibited transaction. It's just restricted. I can't do that. So now in the ROBS structure, option four, which we'll come back to, there's an exception to that. But to get to that ROB structure, it's much more complicated. This is the easier option. Say, I don't want to get a salary. I'm really just going to oversee things and check on things. I'm not working there day to day. And let me just give you an example. I have a client that bought a leather shop. Okay. His old 401k, we set up a self-directed IRA. That IRA ended up owning an LLC that we're actually having taxed as a C corp. It's buying an existing leather shop that's like manufactures and makes leather products. Now, when he's buying this business, the client, he didn't want to work in there. He has some business expertise. He likes the business, but he ain't going to work there. There's management and people already there that are going to stay on and still run and operate the business. He's essentially funding it, providing some additional capital and trying to grow the business. So in that scenario, he's not looking for a salary. He's just looking to grow his retirement account. But we're doing a C corp. The reason I bring in a C corp, and many
which
of you
is the second issue.
Yeah, many of you know we don't like C corps. In the general world, outside of today's discussion, we usually do not like C corps. But what happens for IRAs is when IRAs get what's called business income or even 401ks, it causes a tax called unrelated business income tax. See, retirement accounts are designed to receive investment income, like capital gain income, rental income, dividend income. And when you get that type of income on a retirement account, you don't pay tax. The account just grows tax deferred or tax free. But when I get business income, in like flowing through an LLC, that causes this tax called UBIT. Now,
and Matt, on this note too, another example with yours is the leather shop, is that UBIT is kind of a leveling of the playing field. And why the government implements this tax, if I may add, is that there's three other leather shops in Phoenix that are going, hey, how can this bozo start a leather shop with his retirement account and he doesn't pay any tax? Now, the government says if his retirement account goes and buys a couple rental properties, he doesn't have to pay extra tax on that rental income or the appreciation because it's investment. We want your 401k or IRA to invest. But we didn't foresee your IRA or 401k opening a leather shop. So if you go open a leather shop, you've got to pay some operational tax to level the playing field with the three or four other leather shops in town. So, Matt, this UBIT tax is brutal, though, right?
Yeah, it's a 39.6% rate, and you're out there at $12,000 of annual income. So it's brutal. Yeah, that's probably the best word. It's brutal.
Yeah. So where the C corp comes in.
Yeah, so that's where we use a C corp. Now, the reason you use a C corp is you're going to pay corporate tax. The corporate tax rates are lower than the UBIT tax rates. Now, what happens is when the C corp receives the income, it pays corporate tax, and then it sends the profit down to the IRA or 401k as a dividend. Dividend income is exempt from UBIT. So what I'm doing is I'm trading taxes. I'm saying I'd rather pay the C corp tax because it's actually a lower rate. And up to $50,000, the C corp tax rate's only 15%. So it's much lower, particularly on the lower end of income. So I'm trading. I'm agreeing to pay C corp tax and corporate tax as opposed to UBIT, and that's always a better tax option if you know you're going to have ordinary income like this from a business that would cause UBIT. So
yeah. And the Trump administration is playing right into our little hands. We knew that this would happen is because Donald Trump has said, hey, I'm going to go out and tell of you U.S. corporations, you can't produce abroad and move jobs abroad, or I'm going to penalize you. But I'm going to throw you a bone and I'm going to work on reducing corporate tax. So if he can reduce corporate tax, which he's talking about doing as a bargaining chip in this keep jobs in the United States argument. So he's got to give the corporation something. I mean, not to get too political here for a moment, but the roundabout benefit for us as small business owners and investing in our retirement accounts is we might even see a further reduction in corporate tax rates. So that's going to bleed down to this option two, which is really good, that you're going to pay a lower tax rate, then all the dividends flow into your retirement account tax-free. So you're getting a better rate of return in your retirement account investing in a business you know. So if you know leather, go open a leather shop with your 401k. Still in this option two realm, you can't get a job doing it. And you can't hire your kids. You can't hire your spouse. Hide your kids. Hide your wife. Can't do any of that. So, sorry, that's a YouTube mix there, auto-tune. If you haven't, just go YouTube, hide your kids, hide your wife. You'll love it. Okay, Matt, go ahead.
It went viral. It's still living today on the Refresh Your Wealth podcast.
Yeah, it's still living. It's still alive.
All right. Okay. Now let's move. Let's roll into option three now. Okay. Now, option three is actually where I like to start with most people, particularly if someone says, hey, I want to work in this business. I want to work there, get a salary. I've got some money. I could seed this company in my retirement account. And what we like to start with is say, all right, how much do you need? If we can get 50 grand out of your retirement account, would that be enough to get started? Maybe you use other resources to meet the rest if you need more cash than that. But I've had lots of clients from restaurant franchises to auto body shops to buying professional practices even use this strategy here to at least get 50K. Now, what this involves is we're going to set up a new company, typically an S-Corp. This is going to be your new business. This is going to be the new company you're running the business out of.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, we're going to create a 401k in this new business, typically a solo 401k because it's the easiest. And that new solo 401k, you're going to roll over existing retirement plan funds to the solo 401k account. Once the funds are there, you can take a loan up to half the balance of the 401k, not to exceed 50 grand. Now, one cool thing too is if you have a husband and wife and you both have retirement accounts you can roll over, you could both get 50. So you could potentially get up to 100. And I've even had clients do that, where both spouses, maybe one has an old 401k, one has an IRA, we can roll both sources of funds into the solo K. Both of them are going to be involved in the business. They both take out the 401k loan and get 50K each. So now we got 100,000 to work with. Now the 401k loan, the reason it's cool and easy is that money's out of the 401k, out of retirement plan rule restrictions. It's treated as your own money now personally. Now you got to pay the 401k back. You have 5 years. You have to pay it back. But you get access to that 100 grand now if it's husband and wife, or 50 grand for an individual person.
I love it. Now here's the cool part. Let's take it to the next level here on the Refresh Your Wealth show.
You're really cheesing it up, aren't you?
Yeah, I was cheesy. I don't even know who I was quoting. I'm just in a weird mood today. I'm on cold medicine. I will admit. So that's probably
the Robitussin talking.
That's the Robo talking, Robo baby. Okay, so here's the deal. The cool part is, now when you're paying back the 401k, you get a business interest deduction in your business to pay back your own retirement account that's going back tax-free into your 401k. Who's the best borrower you know? It's you. At least I hope it is. And you're going to pay yourself back and get a tax deduction paying yourself back interest-free tax-free interest. I mean, it's just beautiful. So this is a great way to get a loan and use it to seed money to start your business. Love it.
I love
now,
that.
Now, Matt, you can't use this for a Roth, though, because the Roth is not going to roll into a 401k. That's kind of a hard point, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, if where your money's sitting right now is Roth IRA funds, you're stuck. Roth IRAs always stay as Roth IRAs. Now, maybe you had a Roth 401k with a prior employer. Those are getting more and more popular. You could roll over Roth 401k to your new Roth 401k, but Roth IRAs, yeah, those are stuck.
Well, which brings us to, which I think is, again, oftentimes what a lot of people are looking towards too, is how can I hire my family, work myself in the business somehow, and take a salary? And a lot of times these franchises need more than 50 grand as a franchise fee to get rolling. So there are a sliver, again, of our clients that go down the Rob's path. So Matt, please play tell.
All right. Now, remember on option three, the last one there with the S Corp and you take out the loan, you could be working in that business and getting a salary.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
So,
yes.
So keep that in mind. But again, you're only getting up to 50K, or if you're married and your spouse got funds, maybe 100. Okay. Option four. This is the option four is like the home run hitter, maybe. I don't know. Fourth in the lineup. I'm bringing in the baseball fans now. You know, I got in the Final Four. I got in the playoff college football, and I'm bringing in the baseball fans.
Yeah, now that the Super Bowl's over, all we've got is baseball. So, I mean, well, yeah, you got the NBA, March Madness. I shouldn't say that, but
True. Okay.
Sorry, fast.
All right, back to the tax rules. Okay, option four. Rob's Rollover on Business Startup. Now, this is hard to explain. I'm just going to get it out there now and just tell you this is hard to explain. We usually have a diagram. And one day the Refresher Wealth Show is going to be on TV and this will be much easier. But for now, just bear with me, okay? This requires two parts, a C-Corp and a special type of 401k that has what's called an ESOP involved in it. So it's not a solo 401k. It's not as easy as that. It requires a more special type of 401k that has an employee stock ownership program as part of it. Now, what you're going to do is you set up a brand new C corporation. That's step one. Step two is that C corporation adopts a 401k for the benefit of its employees, which is going to be you. You then roll over your existing retirement plan money to the 401k. That 401k then buys the stock of the C corp. That 401k owns the C corp now. You don't own the C corp. Your 401k account owns the C corp. Now, what happens in this structure and what part of the 401k that you must have is this ESOP that essentially is a prohibited transaction exemption that says if your retirement account owns the 401k, you can actually work in the business and receive a reasonable salary. So this is a good way for people that really want to fund the business. They know they've got a year or two to get it up and running, to get some profits out of it, but they need a salary. They want to be getting a salary. This is also going to be their job. So here we're using the money to fund it. It's maybe paying the franchise fee if it's a franchise, or buying the business if it's an existing business, buying the inventory, buying the technology, whatever it may be. It's funding all the startup expenses.
Yep.
And
now
you're able to work there and get a salary.
Love it. Love it. Great explanation, Matt. And for those of you that fell asleep, refocus. No, that's good. It's technical. And so because of this unique and technical aspect of this strategy, we have a couple companies we will send clients to for this. And they do a fantastic job. One that has probably been the company we've worked with the most is Guidant Financial out of Seattle. We've had Jeremy Ames on our show. We've highlighted him in some articles over the years. Jeremy is their current president. He is co-founder, partner is the CEO. This is a phenomenal company. If you want to email me, mark@markjkohler.com, mark@kkoslawyers, send me an email and I'll get you over to our contact folks over there that can help explain more of this. And as Matt and I described the steps, please know that these companies, they're going to have their technique of getting you from A to Z, and they really know what they're doing. They've got a team of lawyers to help back you up. So we'd love Guidant out of Seattle. And Matt, you've got another company you've worked with in the past.
Yeah, we've had some people use Benetrends before, and Guidant and Benetrends are kind of, you know, they might be the Pepsi and Coke of the rollover on business startup industry. They're really leaders, and you want people that do this a lot. One thing you'll find as you go talk to your attorney or CPA, if you're out there thinking of this structure or you start getting online, it's technical. It ain't something you're going to crank out on your own. I mean, we used to even do them, and I probably did 30 of them over the years, but they're pretty technical. It takes a lot of money to get it done, and these companies have just tried to streamline the process, get the docs down, get the structure down, and help you with compliance along the way. Because one thing with the Rob structure, I called it the silver bullet earlier because it's the one where you can use the money in the retirement account and work in the business and get a salary. But let's be real about some of the downsides to it though too. It's expensive. You're going to pay like $5,000 to set that structure up. Okay, it's not like just setting up a new company for $1,000 to go run your business. Okay, plan on about $5,000. Second downside. It's got a lot of compliance. The IRS audited these like crazy early, 2010 to 2012. They did a whole report on them that says, here's how people are messing them up. They're not doing them right. So you got to stay on top of it. Make sure you got your ducks in a row. Don't be sloppy about maintaining the company and tax reporting and valuations. Those things have to happen. These companies, if you work with, they should have resources to help you along the way.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just going to say, I've actually visited the offices of Guidant out in Seattle, and they've got a whole floor of compliance people that to sing their praises that just follow up with you and make sure that you're doing the right reports. And they will also defend any of their structures with their package, and they do. They've got a team of lawyers there. I've spoke with them on this, and you know, Matt, I just wanted to highlight too, as you said, these type of companies specialize in this for a reason, because they have to do a lot of them. It's the same thing here at KKOS. We specialize in the self-directed LLC or C corp, where you're not going to work in it. Benetrends and kind of, they don't do those. We do those, and so, and they know that. They send referrals our way. We send referrals their way. So, again, you want to get with a firm that's going to stand behind it as we do. If we set up your structure and tell you what you can and cannot do, give you that comfort letter, we stand behind it. So they do the same thing. So we don't want to scare you away from it, but there is compliance. You got an extra tax return. You got 401k reporting, and Guidant Benetrends, they'll help you through it.
Yeah. Now let's walk through how this is working. Okay. But let's say you set up this structure. You're operating the business now. Okay. Now let's keep a couple things separate. You don't own the business. The 401k does. So when you're making money, you're getting a salary. You're getting a W-2. That salary has to be quote-unquote reasonable. You can't be paying yourself $300,000 if the company's not making any money and essentially pilfering your retirement account's money. So you're paying yourself a salary. That's how you make money. As profits are building up and you start having profits exceeding your reasonable salary, where do those go? Those go to the owner of the business, your 401k account, and that builds up your 401k, which – keep in mind, you have to pay taxes to take a distribution out later. So I'm making money. I'm getting a salary. I'm having profits. I'm paying corporate tax on the profits because I had to do a C corp. Then the money's going to my 401k. Then when I get to retirement, I got to take a distribution from my 401k and pay taxes again. So there's some tax inefficiencies to it. There's some trade-offs. Okay, this access to money, funding it with your own retirement account, there are some trade-offs. So keep that perspective in mind. Now, I'm going to play devil's advocate to myself here, if you don't mind. If I took my IRA and invested it in Apple, the same thing happens. Apple's a C corp. They pay corporate tax. Then they distribute a dividend down to my 401k. Then my 401k, essentially, when I take money out of it, I pay tax again at distribution. It's what happens naturally in the investment world. And if I get to sell the business later on, maybe that's one of my goals. I'll get capital gain on the sell of that stock, which I just sell it for my 401k and hopefully someone buys the C corp. But those are just some tax things to think about as you're operating the business. I just wanted to try and pique your interest on those as considerations when you're looking at this.
Yeah, no, I'm glad we've done we did this show. We haven't recorded a show like this. I don't think in the history of our Refresh Your Wealth to really just focus on operational retirement plan businesses. So we hope that many of you found this helpful, and any of our attorneys can help guide you through the different options and go through those four in detail with you and really tailor it to your specific set of facts. That's what you want to do, is just kind of analyze it, running the numbers, looking at each option and the pros and cons, because every family's different. Every business that you're trying to start could be different from someone else's. So be careful of just playing around on the web and then making a decision arbitrarily when you may not have all the tools of the trade. So we'd love to be of help. You can talk to any of our five attorneys here at KKOS, and we'll give you referrals to the companies that can take it to the next level if you need it. So Matt, great job. You just did not let me down at all. I loved it. Very
well,
good.
I love talking about this, and I really do think people need to look at the resources they have when they're starting their own business. I know a lot of financial planners crap on this idea and say, don't drain your retirement account. Well, you know what? Anybody starting a business, it takes risk, and you got to use the resources you have. And retirement accounts aren't just these sacred cows you can never touch. All right. Let's think of how we could maybe use these. For a lot of people, it's their only option. For others, it's just a good option. They may have other resources to consider, but this is one that's a tricky area. We just want to give you the big picture on what the possibilities are, and let us know where we can be a resource to help you on this or point you in the right direction.
Well, great job, my friend, my fine sir. And thank you, everybody, for listening this week. We will be here next week with another show. We've got some great topics coming up this spring and summer. It's tax time. We're going to be focusing on some tax strategy issues, and many of you that have set up companies, how do you really turn the corner this year? And so we want to wish you the best. Folks, just keep living the American dream. Don't give up. And we'll see you next week here.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.